I'm Priscilla. I hope you are doing well today. I'm so excited that you're here. This is The Chat, where we chat about stuff that I hope will be an encouragement to you and an inspiration. Today, I'm really excited because I get the chance to just get to know a woman that I really want you to know. Her name is Kristen Armstrong. She was married to Lance Armstrong for quite a bit and, you know, kind of thrust into a very public life and then a public divorce that was very hurtful, and lots of forgiveness had to take place and restoration. And she's going to talk to us about how the Lord accomplished that in her life. It's really going to be an inspiration to all of us. You are not going to want to miss this. So stay tuned. As I said before, I'm so glad that you're here because this really is going to be a show that you are not going to want to miss. Every single word of it, I really think, is going to make an impact in your life. Holding this little book in my hand by a sweet lady named Kristen Armstrong that I can't wait to introduce to you. It's called Happily Ever After. Now, the reason why this is intriguing to me is because it's a phrase we've heard for a long time since we were little girls or little boys. But to talk to somebody who has really had to take a journey to this place, well, that's what I'm after. I'm after figuring out, how do you get here when you're coming from a place of brokenness or hurt? How does God restore and heal you? That's what Kristen's going to tell us about. So would you please all just help me to welcome our guest for today? Her name is Kristen Armstrong. Come on out, Kristen.
Hello, my friend. Hello.
Okay, so we've just really gotten a chance to know each other and to just sit down and talk just a little bit. And just in the few moments that we've talked, I've been very intrigued about really kind of getting all in your business and trying to figure out. Yeah. We have some questions for you, my friend.
That's good.
Because there is a story to tell about how you get to happily ever after when you've got the kind of story that you have. And, you know, there are a lot of people watching right now who probably are coming from bits and pieces of brokenness in their past.
Absolutely.
So we need to know what your bits and pieces are. Tell us a little bit about your story, who you are, what happened, and then just the beginnings of how God began to lead you down a different path.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
just a small question.
Just a small question. Just everything.
Everything. We want to know
everything. From my faith perspective, I was raised Catholic, and my Catholic faith was always something to me that was very routine, very rote, memorized prayers, things like that. So while it was very much the foundation of my childhood, it didn't feel very personalized to me. So if you fast forward through my life until I met Lance Armstrong and married him in 1998.
How old were you when you guys kind of met? Engaged, married, all that.
What 26. Age?
Okay. So you're in your 20s when this
Yes.
All right.
In my 20s. And so we meet, fall in love, have a whirlwind, amazing courtship, and ended up in a span of 5 years to have just so many things crammed into such a short period of time. So his recovery from cancer, his return to his cycling career, and going through in vitro fertilization, having 3 children, and having a huge skyrocket rise to fame and success, and then just kind of a crumbling and a plummet and explosion, and there it is. So
all
to go from Cinderella to kind of wreckage in a really short period of time.
Okay, so let's just sit there for just a second and talk about that. How was that experience for you? Because you're marrying a guy and then all of a sudden, limelight. There's just attention cast on you, your husband, your family. Were you receptive to that, or did you kind of recoil from that spotlight, or was it okay with you? How did you feel about that?
Well, to go from marrying someone who just was recovering from cancer, so someone who's not just career future's uncertain, but I mean, think his entire life was uncertain.
Yeah.
So we fell in love in that place. And so he was in a very different place when I fell in love with him. He was humbled by his illness. He was in more of a sensitive place. So that was such a wild ride to go from meeting someone in that beautiful place, someone who kind of was experiencing sort of like the brink of death kind of thing.
Yeah. If there's anything that'll humble you, that'll do it.
Yeah. And so that was a beautiful place to meet him. And then that all to when you add so much success, so much celebrity, all of that, your life changes so quickly that it was almost hard to keep up with all of that. Just the limelight, and also just having, as you know, three children. I mean, that's the change into motherhood. So to become a wife and to become a wife of a celebrity and then to become a mother all in such a short period of time was a lot of transition.
Mm-hmm. Did you find yourself, because for a lot of women, just the being a mom part alone causes her to feel like she's just in this little bubble all by herself, changing dirty diapers, and you got to mm-hmm. keep up with the dishes, and you got to feed people and all this. To add on that, in your situation, you've got this guy whose success is kind of carrying him not only out of the house, I would assume lots, because he had to travel lots, I'm sure. So he's out and about doing his thing, but you're also saying that success sort of changed him in terms of what was important to him and how you, the grounds where you first met him. So did you find that all of that kind of piled on top of each other? For you, how did you handle that season of your life?
Well, there was definitely some isolation because I was living over in Europe and all my friends are back in the States. My mm-hmm. family's in the States. So here's me being still a newly married person, but also a young mother. So there was a yeah. lot of identity shift that was happening to me. And that is a lot of growth and maturation crammed into a tiny period of time. And I felt like I got lost in there. And yeah. I got lost in my faith. I got lost in who I was. Every woman, I think, can get a little bit lost in marriage and can get lost in motherhood. And it's very easy. You can get lost in being the wife of an athlete. You can, in all those ways, you can get lost. And I got lost in all of those ways at once.
Yep. I want to know, tough question for you.
Thanks
I want to know. Yeah, it's a little bit of a warning, but it might not be a tough question for you. You might know off, right off the top of your head, but I want to know, were you angry? Were you angry during the 5 years when you started to just see this guy change from who he was when you said, I do, to who he was becoming? Was there ever a time when you weren't just sad or curious about what the future would be, but where you were just plain old flat out mad that you had made a commitment to someone who was not the same person? When you made that commitment?
I think that his evolution and the evolution of our life came in some subtle shifts that happened along the way. And frankly, the more and more absorbed that he became in his career and his traveling and all of that, I was more and more absorbed in mothering. So I think what happened more than like angry would be like kind of a chasm, which happens to a lot of people in their marriage. And I think that there's a lot of people that are at right around 5 or 7 years of being married, and it's a really challenging time because when you have small children, you're so sucked into their world and what that means to be a mother that you can't really remember all the things that you used to love or why you used to love this man.
Yeah.
I mean, all those things come up. It's a very normal thing. But to go through that in kind of a microscope of then when you show up with your family somewhere, you're on display.
Yeah.
And that's just...
And you're supposed to kind of look like all as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we did look like that. We looked lovely, but it was hard.
Okay. I hope y'all just heard what she said, because that's so interesting. That chasm that you know, is happening in little microscopic steps.
Yes.
If you ignore it, it just grows and it grows and it grows, and you don't realize till the other side that it just started as us just not talking to each other or just kind of passing like ships in the night.
Yes, and I've heard so many women over the years tell me stories, and I can relate exactly to how they feel in those situations because the same thing happened to me. That may be married to a celebrity person, but a marriage is a marriage and being a partner and being a mom and those things, that's common ground to a lot of women. So
now I have heard that when you kind of share your story with a group, there were some friends of mine that were actually in a group in Austin where you were speaking, and they told me about a story you told that had to do with a blanket.
Oh yeah.
And so tell us what led to which had to be a heavy weight on you, just the news that you got that sort of led to this blanket story, but tell us about that.
That was the first time I had ever shared that story about the blanket, and I haven't spoken of it since. It is something that is really personal to me. It's a really sweet story, and I think what's important about it is it shows how far you can come.
Yeah.
Because kind of as preface for that story, I always wanted my kids to have a sense of unconditional love. And that was the biggest wreckage for me after my marriage fell apart, because I felt like a failure because I wasn't able to give my kids that gift. Hmm. And that's what I always wanted. So years go by and healing and work and all of that. And eventually our relationship did repair, and we have a great relationship today, co-parenting, and we're friends, and we've been through a lot, our family. Mm-hmm. And so to me now, when I look and I see that we actually do have a beautiful example of unconditional love. It doesn't look like the pretty picture that I always wanted, mm-hmm. but I can see that God still gave us that in spite of all the brokenness, in spite of bad choices, in spite of all kinds of hurt and hard work. Mm-hmm. It is that.
Yeah.
And I love that. So that's kind of the background for Blanket Story.
Yeah.
Okay. So I can't remember exactly when it was, maybe 6 years ago. Mm-hmm. Lance had a new girlfriend, her name's Anna, and he came to my house to tell me that Anna was pregnant. So, whoa, okay, that's big news. That has huge impact on our family. And so he was coming to tell me that, honoring me, the mother of his other children, like, hey, this is what's happening right now. I'm like, okay. Now, my kids and I have had enough awesome therapy to know that in any time when you're going through a change or something significant, your children have to be able to look at you, their mom, to see that everything's going to be okay. I had a therapist once describe it to me like this. You know, when your kid falls and splits his chin and comes running up to you and looks at you, they want to know, based on your face, like, am I okay?
Right.
Mom, am I going to be okay?
Isn't that the truth?
Because
if
the
you
truth.
Look like, oh, baby, then they fall apart.
Yeah. So I knew that when they got this big news, they would be looking to me and they would look to my face. And so I really had to ask God to help me not... My kids know me too well. My face has to reflect the real me, because they'll know mm-hmm. if I'm putting on an act or what. So I have this awesome friend. Her name's Peggy, and I called her and told her what was going on. A couple days later, in the mail comes circular knitting needles and a big heap of yarn. And so I balled up all this yarn, and I started knitting a baby blanket. And that was one of the finest things, because the whole time I was knitting that baby blanket, I was praying and I was preparing to welcome a child into our family. And my kids saw me carry that everywhere, the knitting needles, the ball of yarn, whether I'm in the pickup line or waiting at the dentist or whatever. They got to witness that, and they saw the softness, and they saw the act of welcome and generosity, and just they saw me preparing, so it made it okay for them to prepare too.
Yeah.
And it was really neat, and it was a really sweet gift to be able to give Anna. It's an ugly blanket. I mean, I'll be honest, I'm horrible at knitting. Okay, it has a lot of holes in it, and
somehow
so does my life.
It doesn't really matter, you know?
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
No, but it was such a neat thing. It was a really special thing to know that their baby's wrapped up in this blanket.
Yeah, a blanket that you made.
That I made.
What an act of forgiveness, of mercy, of generosity. I was thinking about the fact that we were talking earlier, and just that moving forward, sometimes it boils down to choosing to move forward.
Choosing
to take the steps that are necessary to bring healing to your own heart. It's not as much about the other person as it is about you freeing yourself and saying, hey, mm-hmm. I will do what is required, whether I feel like it today or not. I am an example for these kids.
Yes.
They're watching me. And for yourself, I want to be a whole woman. I don't want to get to 60 and still be living in the past of what happened when I was 20 or 30 years old. I want to be able to move forward. That was a courageous thing you did.
Well,
hugely courageous. So many people would have not taken a baby blanket. They may have taken other things, but not
maybe
a baby blanket.
Maybe just the needles.
Maybe just the needles. That's exactly right. So I'm thinking about this little Bible verse in regards to that. Paul is writing in 2 Corinthians, and he is saying, now, however, sometimes it's a time that you need to forgive. But he doesn't just stop with forgiveness. He says, you need to forgive and bring comfort. That's the part that's hard sometimes, because you don't mind the forgiveness. You can deal with that. You can get yourself there to forgive what has happened. But it's that bringing comfort part to the other person that has hurt you. by knitting the baby blanket or by saying happy birthday, when your heart is just all tensed up and you kind of don't want to extend just that little offering of graciousness, just a smile across the grocery store when you run into them that says you're okay. He says, you know what, forgiveness sometimes is complete, not just by forgiving in your own heart, but then just doing something kind. This is a huge example of that. And it encourages us. And so we're going to talk more about what it looks like to forgive. But for now, would you please help me by thanking Kristen for telling us so much of her incredible story.
This is going to be an incredible experience where we all get to see what it's like to experience God's unfailing love. We are incredibly loved, incredibly valuable, and incredibly capable of blowing it. That's why we are in the book of Hosea. I want you to experience it. I want you to be able to enjoy it. I want you to be able to taste and see that the Lord is good. If you're lost, the message of Hosea is that God will find you. If you're ashamed, He'll cover you. If you've wandered off, He'll come get you. If you have given up on Him, He is not going to give up on you. If you have found yourself in chains and in slavery and you don't know how you got there, He will buy you back and give you freedom. That's the incredible scandal of God's love. He would do whatever it takes to restore us. That kind of unfailing love will change everything.
We are having a great, great, great conversation. I want to read to you just a little smidge of Kristen's book. It says here, I have walked this path from the trenches of despair, through pitfalls of anger, bottlenecks of blame, along with the cliffs of loneliness and fear. I have felt the cold draft of my own sin and the warm embrace of forgiveness. In navigating my ups and downs, I found my unshakable compass in the Lord. If you can find yours more quickly, it will spare you a measure of anguish. And this is part of my intention for writing this book. This book is Happily Ever After. And Kristen had to find her journey there. And she started to tell us before we went to the break a little bit about what that looked like. The choice you made, making a baby blanket for this new little one that was going to be added sort of to your clan. Exactly. And you had to feel a measure of shock and a little bit of hurt maybe or frustration about that. What were your emotions when you just kind of got the news that this baby was on the way?
I think I was mostly surprised. It wasn't so much hurt as I felt concern. I think I didn't want my own kids to feel displaced or less important. I think that was kind of where my heart was on that. But I also thought, okay, our family's changing again. And it's really important that here's a new person that's coming into our family dynamic. And luckily for all of us, she's a lovely person. Mm-hmm. But I wanted her to feel welcome, because sometimes you can feel like the ex-wife is sort of this looming figure, and it just maybe might impact the relationship with your children. And so I wanted her to feel welcome. So when I gave her that blanket.
Yeah, tell us about that moment.
I mean, I don't think Lance really understood. He was probably
like that's standing right there while you're giving the blanket.
No, I don't think so. But I don't think he really ever acknowledged what that meant, because I think to him it was probably like an ugly blanket. But he doesn't really get it. But I think that for her, she really did understand. Like, she knew what that was. I mean, I remember her eyes filled up with tears, and she just kind of looked at me and she's like, "Thank you. This is beyond beautiful." And so I knew that she understood. Mm-hmm. But it was months of carrying that around. And that the gift was in the making, really.
That's what I was going to ask you. What did the process do for you in making that blanket?
I think it was a softening of my heart. I mean, knowing that whenever I was working on that, I was also praying and I was also thinking about how my children would receive not just this news, but, you know, another person mm-hmm. into our family. And mm-hmm. it meant a lot to me to handle that. And handle it well.
Yeah. And you were saying something during the break about the whole dynamic of an ex-wife and a new kind of woman entering the scenario in whatever capacity, a girlfriend or a new wife. How do you feel like, or how would you encourage someone who's in that position that you were in? Why is it important to make this new person feel like you've got open arms to this scenario?
I think it's one thing, it can't be faked. You know, I mean, if you aren't in a place where you really have done that kind of work on forgiveness in general, then whatever you're trying to put forward isn't authentic. Mm-hmm. But when
they'll see right through it. Huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and it won't feel good anyway. But I think that when you think about your children in a situation like that, particularly, I mean, if you have children, if you don't, it's not really the same. But if you do, then you have to think, here is someone that's coming into our lives that is going to have connection with my children, is going to have influence on my children, whether I like it or not. And so to make that relationship one where you have open, you welcome someone, you have open communication mm-hmm. with that person, it's essential. And to be able to get over yourself and whatever your own baggage is, to think, okay, really, do I love Luke, Grace, and Isabel more than I love myself? You bet. Mm-hmm. You bet I do. Mm-hmm. And I care about their happiness more than I care about my own. But I also care about mine. And yeah. I want a peaceful life. I want a life where I can go to different games or to productions at school, or I can go to school conferences. And I want to be able to feel good in my own skin wherever I go.
Not constantly antagonistic to this other person that's in the room.
No, I don't want to feel like, oh, I feel okay as long as this.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of forgiveness, I think, because if you can forgive someone who's hurt you, or you can forgive circumstances that come that you didn't want, or if you can forgive yourself for things that you have contributed to situations, and to find a way to work through that takes you to a whole new place of grace and a whole new place of freedom. And that's really where you want to live. Yeah. That's that place of unconditional love I was talking about. That's where you need to be if you want to live that kind of liberated life. Yeah. Where you're not carrying this baggage and weight from the past everywhere you go.
Okay. I have a question. I want to know, do you think that it's the making of the blanket that brought about the sense of forgiveness you needed to live a peace-filled life? Or do you think that that forgiveness has to come before you're able to make the blanket and offer that little piece of generosity and extend yourself to someone else? Because aren't we all wondering, do you have to forgive first and then offer yourself? Or if it's in the offering that the forgiveness wells up in your heart and you're able to, do you understand what I'm asking?
Yes, and that the blanket is one piece that came along years after a lot of other things. So there's so many stories in between there. But I think it's kind of like when the Red Sea parted, you know? They had to take a few steps, the Israelites did, and then the sea parted. They didn't like wait on the side and go, all right, well, okay, pretty soon, I think this is supposed to open on up. It didn't work that way. And just like anything else, we have to take the first few steps. We have to step out in faith, and we have to step out in obedience to say, you know what, I know that this is right. I know that this is what I'm supposed to do. I may not feel it all right now, mm-hmm. but I'm going to trust that that will come.
Yeah.
And so I think that it's the answer to what you've asked me is it's both. I think you have to have a little bit of it, but then you also have to be willing to say, okay, I trust you that you're going to supply what I need as I go along.
Yeah.
Because I can choose that that's the path that I want to take. I know that that's the life that I eventually want. Because I see people who hold on to all this stuff from the past, and they can talk about a circumstance, a divorce or a death or something that was disappointment to them. And you would honestly think it happened in the
yesterday.
Past year.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, well, that was 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa. That person is still bringing that negativity into every situation and every new relationship that they go into. And I didn't want that. I knew that.
I love this idea that you really have to look forward and decide 10 years from now or 20 years from now, what do I want my life to look like? What kind of woman do I want to be? What kind of peace do I want to permeate my home or my children's lives? What do I want to model for them?
Yeah.
And then you have to make choices today with that in mind, not your today feelings in mind and what you do or don't want to do today.
Yes.
You have to look forward, and it takes a lot of resolve to make decisions today. Because I think about that sometimes when we're traveling, we travel a whole lot, And you know how when you're going from one area of the country maybe to another, and it's hot where you are, but it's going to be cold where you're going. And so you have to decide not to pack for where you are right now, which is what you're tempted to do because all the stuff in your closet is the summer stuff because it's hot.
Yeah.
But you've got to say, okay, wait a minute. I got to pull out some of these sweaters because where I'm going, it's going to be cold. It takes a choice to think with tomorrow in mind. And that's what you had to do.
Yes. And just like everything else, you have to get up every day and choose. Just to have a good marriage, you get up every morning and choose to have a good marriage again that day.
Yep.
You want to be a good mom? Okay, you have to get up and choose again. You don't just make one choice and think, okay, great, I'm good. 10 years from now, I'm going to be right on track. I mean, I'm always checking in with myself.
Yep.
Like, how am I doing? How am I really doing?
Yeah.
Am I being really who I want to be?
Yeah.
Because if I'm not, I need to adjust.
Yep.
And so that's kind of an ongoing process. But it's funny because in light of travel, I remember thinking to myself, you remember when you'd get like free tickets or use miles and then you'd try to go book your ticket and there'd be like this time it's all blacked out. It's like blackout dates. You can't use your ticket.
Yeah.
I thought, I don't want to look back on my life and look at blackout dates. Like, where was I? You know, was I hiding under the covers? Was I just checked out?
Yeah.
I didn't want to miss that. Not just in the raising of my kids, because that means everything to me. But what about me and my work
as
and my relationship and my ministry? What is that? Like, do I want blackout dates, or am I going to dust off and choose today that I'm going to get up and make the best of it and go in that direction?
Yeah. You mentioned even forgiving yourself. The journey and the process that is as well, in terms of, you know, forgiving others, but also just realizing what work you have to do in forgiving yourself. And I'm wondering if in your marriage you felt like, while, you know, it was kind of spotlight on what Lance was doing, but I wonder if you look back at that, or in the middle of that, if you felt like, did you give yourself a hard time for anything that you may have done or not done, the chasm that maybe you didn't notice or didn't, you know, work hard enough at kind of pulling the reins in on? Was there anything you had to, in regards to that marriage, really forgive yourself for?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
And I think that that's a really important piece, because anytime we're coming out of a relationship, if we take on this mentality that we're the victim in this situation, like, this happened to me, I didn't contribute anything, that delays our healing so much. In fact, it was when I really started to realize, you know what, I played a part in this. There were things about me that were deceptive. There were ways that I lost myself. There were ways that I didn't show up the way I could have shown up. There was countless things that I would do differently. I'm 43 years old now. I would be such a different wife today.
Yeah.
And thank God for that.
Yeah.
But I like to look at that and see what my part is, because someday I hope to be married again and I don't want to make those same mistakes. Mm. I don't want to lose myself, and I don't want to make decisions that cause the chasm. I see that, and I see that I had a part to play. But stepping out of the role of victim was huge in healing. Like, I have to forgive myself too.
That's good.
Yeah.
This has been an incredible conversation. Listen, forgiveness matters, and making the choice to forgive really can change the trajectory of your whole life. You get to make that decision, and God will help you walk down the path you need to live a peace-filled, hope-filled, joy-filled life. I'm so glad that you've been here. And listen, we've got a part two. This is just the beginning of our conversation. We're going to do it again, so you won't want to miss the second half, talking with Kristen Armstrong. Thanks for being here. Thank you.